everybody. It's TJ.
And Celine.
And we are back with another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out Two Nerdy Things. Did a little something different there.
I like it.
I don't know if I'm going to commit yet. It's really hard for me to hit that high note.
You can change whenever you want.
I am a butterfly.
They have very short lifespans, so let's relax.
I could still be a butterfly.
It's fair.
Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. Right. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed.
Live like tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Yes.
It was like, there's no tomorrow. I couldn't think of the first.
Yeah. So today, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about what happens to breast silicone implants after you pass away and decompose. Do they just slough off or do they decompose?
Scientifically, they're actually not biodegradable, which is why they can be put into your body. Because technically your body can biodegrade anything, which is why our digestive systems work. So technically, if you bury somebody with breast implants, the theory is probably that they're just going to sit there, and while the corpse rots away, the breast implants will just stay.
So you just have a skeleton with silicone boobies on them.
Right there on the chesties.
Chesticles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is part of the reason why people are now saying, like, breast implants aren't, like, for a long time, everyone was saying, like, breast implants are super healthy. Like, they're not bad for you.
Not true.
If you shove something plastic in your body and expect it to not have after effects, that's a you thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's a choice.
And you're supposed to get it replaced every 10 years.
And that's if you do that.
Yes. And if you don't?
There's something called breast implant illness.
Yes. So, since we're actually on the topic, my grandmother had breast implants a long time ago, mm-hmm. like whatever. Well, she never had them redone. And one of them actually punctured and she was leaking.
It ruptured? It leaked into her? Oh.
And she never had anything done about it. And so as a result, because she took so long to have them done, I mm-hmm. guess, it was like rocks, basically. She eventually did have them redone. Okay. But yeah, it's almost like something that's not meant to be there. Your body will find a way to get rid of it.
It's breast implant. I have such a contention with breast implants. Like, do them if it makes you feel good, but it's definitely a commitment to, it's an upkeep. Every 10 years, you have to get them taken out and put new ones in.
Yeah.
And that's $5,000-$10,000 every time.
I'm actually thinking of getting a breast reduction myself.
I mean, good on you.
Yeah.
Hashtag thriving.
Yeah. You know.
Look. I was telling you, you should get double D's, but if that's not what you want to do, I won't.
I'm just tired of tickle bitties.
Okay.
And I just want to go smaller.
Look, that means you can just wear like a cute little blouse without any bra.
Exactly. Which is swing low, sweet chariots.
Come both carry me.
So the reason why I actually brought this up was I saw this meme earlier, and it made me laugh so hard. Mainly because of the picture, it says, so wait, when they bury someone with implants, is there a point in the decomposition process where there's just a skeleton with huge boobs?
I'm going to go ahead and theorize that they probably take the implants out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because they take out internal organs.
Yeah, so I'd imagine that they cut, when they cut into your chest cavity.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine they probably take them out.
Yeah.
Because it's not good for the planet. I mean, no. If it's not good, like the irony here is, if it's not good for the planet, why are we putting it in our body?
Right. Exactly.
And if it can rupture.
Yeah.
They're like, even when it ruptures, it's still not toxic. I'm like, there's like literal plastic seeping into my gaping rib cage.
Yes. Yep. So, make sure we're actually recording.
If we're not.
We are.
Okay, thank God.
Yes. So, no, we're not actually talking about that. But I saw that today. I was like, okay, that's funny shit.
See,
I got to use that.
Another one that like went off onto like an actual tangent.
Yes. Yeah. No, like Celine said, if you feel the need to get a breast implant,
just one
breast enlargement,
just one.
Yes. You do you, but at what cost, I would say?
I just don't want to be 90 with huge fake tits.
No.
It just doesn't seem appealing.
No.
I don't mind my body gracefully decaying.
Yeah. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Come forth and carry me home. They're my blankets. Okay, I wrap it around my neck, my back.
It's my head pillow. Tuck them into my shorts.
In the evenings, I just lay yep. on one tit while the other is covering me.
Yep. It's nice and moisturized. Keep them soft and supple.
If not supple, soft.
This really went on to... This was almost 6 minutes we're talking about this. So, no, we're not actually here to talk about breast implants and what happens after you decompose. Yeah. Although, like Celine said, they probably do take them out. What are we actually here to talk about?
Speaking of perfect bodies and pectoral muscles.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Nobody was talking about.
Shots fired.
You just said you're getting a breast reduction.
I'm getting pectoral implants.
I didn't mean it in that way. That was not as rude as I intended. I'm kidding. So sorry. I meant it like let me talk about my guy.
Just kidding.
That was not as rude. I'm sorry.
No, I took it in a fun way. It's all good.
I appreciate you. We're talking about the my other husband. Sorry, Mason. Chris, whatever his middle name is, Hemsworth, and him starring in Thor. Love it and Thunder. So this movie got completely panned.
So yes, it got completely panned. But we didn't know that prior to seeing the movie.
Because we saw it on premiere night.
We saw it, yeah, we actually saw it the day before it came out. Because we're just that bougie.
We like to do that.
Yes.
That way we don't have to avoid like spoilers.
Well, that we don't have to avoid crap on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
TikTok.
TikTok. MySpace.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yep. LinkedIn.
I follow Kevin Feige on LinkedIn.
Yep.
I don't.
I was like, do you really? Like, is he on there?
I wish.
Yeah, so we just, because we just like to, we like to go into it without being, without having a preconceived notion of what it's, what we're supposed to expect. We loved it.
It was so good. It was so good. It was, it's been out for weeks now, so I'm just going to.
Yeah, it's been out for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And so
almost 45 days.
Yep. So really, if you haven't seen it by now, like if you're a fan of the movie and you haven't seen it by now, well then that's on you. Spoilers ahead, because I mean, what fun would that be if we talked about it without talking about it? So, we probably won't get into like the whole gist of the story, but. I mean, unless you want to, it's up to you.
No, I just want to talk about my favorite parts. We don't need to summarize something.
Yeah. But we both really enjoyed it. And
I have three specific things I want to talk about.
Sure. I will say, before we start revealing spoilers, if you want to turn off here shortly, is Love and Thunder has a dual meaning.
Yeah.
Which
we'll get into it.
I really loved. So. Yeah. You've been warned. Spoilers ahead. Turn off if you don't want to hear.
Turn back. Okay, I'll start with my three.
Sure. What was your first one?
What? My first one? It's a silly one. But I love a good, like, 80s movie. I love a montage.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a Fat Thor turning back into regular Thor montage, which was...
narrated by Korg.
Yeah. I mean, top tier.
Yes.
Just him turning it back into this macho Thor was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning sequence, like the entire, I think, probably first 15 minutes of the movie, is just funny.
It's, to me, like comedy gold.
So there's, this is leading into like my real favorite part. There's a scene where they're like defeating these like bad people on a different planet with the Guardians and whatever. And there's two, like, missiles coming. and he literally does the splits full straight across to stop them. Like, legs stretched. And I just remember I couldn't stop laughing.
It was so funny. Honestly, that whole opening part was probably the funniest part of the whole movie.
It was so good.
I loved it.
Number two. There's a couple things I won't reveal because we'll talk about them together. So there's big ones I probably won't say. I'm just going to say, like, little anecdotes I really liked. One of the other funny parts, but also not super funny, but, like, great, was Thor has, like, a powwow with the Greek gods. And, or, like, every god, I guess, ever. And he, like,
what do they call it?
I don't remember what they called it in the movie.
Herogasm? I feel like that was maybe the boys.
Yeah, it was boys.
Doesn't matter. Go on.
They did call it something. Anyway, it's not... They're not superheroes. It's all the gods.
Yeah.
So it's like we got the Egyptian gods, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, the Norse gods.
African gods.
Every single god... If you have... or into mythology, this scene is probably gold for you, because it was fun to peek through and be like, oh, that's like Hestia, and you're like, oh, that's Dionysus or whatever. Anyway, I like Greek mythology, so Thor asks for an audience with Zeus,
and Zeus is like the almighty god.
Yeah, he's like the leader.
Yeah,
like
which is kind of funny, because like there's other religions that are older than Greek.
Yeah,
so
I feel like Egyptian is much older.
I think Egyptian is one of the oldest.
Norse is pretty old too. They don't have a lot of, like, they don't have a lot of lore.
No.
They've made up most of it.
I would say, like, probably either Egyptian, African, or Norse is probably some of the oldest.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Egyptian is African.
I was thinking like Black Panther.
Oh, like, yeah. Like Nigeria. Or
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because you're right, yes, Egyptian is Africa.
I forget Egypt and Morocco are part of Africa.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what I meant, was, like, Black Panther, like...
Like deeper into, like, yeah. Like the Congo. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like where all of that lore came from.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a lot, too. Yeah, so he asked for an audience with Zeus, Thor does. And I just want to point out, both Valkyrie... and somebody else are there, okay? Won't say who yet, because we'll get into that later, but... And Korg.
Yes. Korg, yes.
Love him so much. So he asks for an audience, and all of a sudden, Zeus, he, like, says something, and Zeus literally whips off his entire robe.
Flick.
Yeah.
You flick too hard, damn it!
Show me who you are. Flick. You flick too hard! and Thor is butt ass naked.
Yes, he is.
I like actually.
Yes.
Like you saw his
and
butt.
All his gloriousness.
Oh.
Yes.
So I don't actually love that scene for what you might think. I love that scene.
Yeah.
I love that scene because it's just like so out of pocket.
Right.
You're just like, what?
Uh huh. I love when everyone faints.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Even
the men. I love when the men fainted.
Uh huh.
And then I just love when Valkyrie and this other person lean over. Should we help him? In a minute.
No. In a minute. Yeah.
I think he's fine. Give him a minute. Mm-hmm. So, I did love that. That was great. And number three. I don't know if I want to say it. Why don't you do two of yours?
Okay. So, one of my favorite parts is, again, at the very beginning. We see Thor almost, he's having like a midlife crisis. And we see him very Jesus-esque reflecting. And he's trying to figure out who he is and where do I go from here. And during this whole montage, Enya starts playing. Only in time. Only part I can understand from that song. I think you and I were the only two that probably started laughing so hard. Because it was just so fitting to the moment. And it was so funny. It just added to the funny.
It was so funny. We were laughing very hard.
And in all this, in the midst of all of this, Thor has has planted Stormbreaker. Because he's like retiring. He's
It's like, I've become better.
Yes, I've become better. And Korg or the someone, the Guardians, or I don't remember. They're like, we need your help. He's like, okay. Digs Stormbreaker out of the ground and freaking rides Stormbreaker like a broom. Goes off the screen, goes off one side. A couple seconds later, you can see him in the background flying on Stormbreaker. Just thinking about it now, I think I was probably laughing the hardest out of anyone in the theater.
I was laughing pretty hard too.
Because it was so, I mean, I didn't know Stormbreaker could do that. And
the irony is that we just went to see Wicked too.
Yes. It was just, oh my God. So like that part in the beginning with the Enya, him riding Stormbreaker off into the distance. He's got his hair up in a bun. It was so funny. So that was my first favorite part. My second favorite part, I don't know if I can reveal it without, I'm assuming, revealing what you want to talk about. So let's just talk about it. You go say what your third one is and I'll tell you mine.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
I'm going to just quick lay it out though. So we all knew that Natalie Portman signed on. She came back. This wasn't a surprise. We kind of knew what capacity. We didn't know why. So we...
Reprising the role of Jane Foster.
Yes. So we, goes to Natalie Portman's Jane Foster, and she's become very ill and is only getting more sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she has pancreatic cancer, and she's in stage 5.
4.
4.
I think stage 5 is death. Dead.
She's like 4 now.
Yeah. 4 3/4.
Yeah, she's pretty ill. She's so ill that I think they've actually CGI'd her to be thinner because she had so much muscle.
Yeah.
At this point.
Or they could have even done it before she gained all the muscle.
That could be. They could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. She took, because I feel like she's a method actor. It looks very real.
Yeah. But who knows?
Who knows? And she's very sick, and she's like, I'm looking for answers, and she almost feels like a weird pull to go to New Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
So she does. And what happens then?
So, for those who watched Thor Ragnarok, Meow Meow, Mjolnir, was disintegrated by Hela. It was broken into 1,000 pieces, and the hammer was no more.
Mm-hmm. Which is why Stormbreaker had to happen.
Right, so which is why Thor now has Stormbreaker, which that's another funny part. We'll get to that, but well, maybe if I remember. I tend to scatterbrain quite a bit, but anyways, so she goes to New Asgard, and Mjolnir is now like an attraction. Yeah, it's like a museum.
It's like a museum piece.
Yeah, yeah. And it's encapsulated in the middle.
Black. Telling you all the information.
Yeah, it's like a plaque, and it tells you like who it belonged to, and mm-hmm. like what you'd see in a museum.
Yeah.
Except it's encased, and it's no longer usable.
Yeah.
So she goes there because she, like Celine said, she feels a pull to it. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
So we don't get to see immediately what happens.
No, but there's a reaction.
Yeah, so it starts to like vibrate,
mm-hmm.
and it starts to light up from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Which it never did that for Thor.
No.
In this form.
Yes. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
So
I read.
Same. What? I'm right here. So she. It's starting to do these things, and then all of a sudden, Thor is called to a fight, like, to, because kids are being, like, kidnapped.
In New Asgard.
in New Asgard, and they call him back to help and whatever. And they actually, like, immediately start to fight these, like, dark creatures who are creatures from something I will talk about is one of my favorite villains is Gore the God Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another villain that you're like...
Is he wrong?
No.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about him.
We'll talk about him.
Yeah.
So it's his creatures, and they're fighting, and all of a sudden, we see, like, a spark of light, and somebody goes, boom, under the ground, and Thor, like, literally whips around, and he's like, excuse me, please move out of the... Who is that?
Yeah.
Is that... Well,
and you can see something flying in the background. It looks almost like it has lightning coming out of it, but you don't know what it is.
No.
I mean, we know what it is, but you can infer.
Yes.
So you see something flying in the background, and you see what looks like a Thor helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting my hands up like you can see my hands. more so for Celine, but... and it's like, what?
And the golden hair.
Yeah.
The beefy arms.
We're like, what? The what is... What?
Who is that?
And all of a sudden, the hammer goes flying past Thor's head. And he's like, whoa! You know, whoa! And it comes back. And you see the hammer pulled away. And it's Jane Foster as the mighty Thor. That's how they distinguish between them.
Thor and the Mighty Thor.
Yes. It is, I'd say, probably one of the coolest moments in a while for Marvel.
It was very cool.
Like, probably up there with Wanda.
Just, like, thinking about it.
Yeah, probably with Wanda, like, when she turned into the Scarlet Witch.
It was...
For me, anyways.
I loved when she turned into the Scarlet... I still get goosebumps when I think about her turning into Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
When she gets on screen, and she, like, kind of smiles at him, like... kind of bashfully, like, hey.
Like, oh yeah,
but she's also like, hi,
yeah, like a schoolgirl, because they're broken up.
Yeah, and then he goes up and she's like, it's been so long, and he's like, yeah, 8 years, 7 months, and 12 days.
Yeah,
but who's counting?
Right.
And she's like, uh huh, and he's like, this is new.
Yeah.
She's like, mm-hmm. And then her... One of my favorite parts, a little smaller parts, a lot to talk about. Jane is like one of my top parts, but like when the hammer splits into 1,000 pieces and kills multiple people at once and comes back, and Thor says, "I never did that for me."
Yeah, I never did that before.
I was like, "This is amazing." He's like, so mad.
So yeah, that was my second one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I was trying to find one from, like, the beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
When she becomes Thor, the Mighty Thor, super cool. But when she throws the hammer and it breaks off into however many pieces that it is, and then it comes back together to form Mjolnir, I remember seeing that briefly in the trailer, and I was like, was that her hammer? It's so cool.
It was, and she does it multiple times.
Yeah.
So you get to see it multiple times.
Yeah.
That was one of my, I loved that part. It was so cool to see Jane and Thor back, and they have really great chemistry with each other.
They do.
And you can just tell that they're friends. Jeez, who's blowing you up?
But I don't want to mute it because I'm afraid it'll mute my microphone.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to do that. I'll try it out and see if it'll do anything, but let me just open this so that way it'll stop doing that. Very cool moment. Very, very cool seeing a female Thor.
Yes.
You know? She's not Lady Thor.
No.
She's the Mighty Thor.
I love that they didn't call her Lady Thor, because I hate that name.
I don't even think they call her that in the comic book.
They don't. That was a made-up thing.
Yes. So... The reason why she becomes the Mighty Thor is because the hammer has deemed her worthy to take up the mantle of Thor. So even if Thor, if he were to pass away,
somebody can
take up the mantle of Thor.
So as far as I've read, like, lore-wise, there's not a lot of Norse mythology fact
Yeah.
So a lot of Thor's actual like comic book story is based off of Excalibur, so King Arthur. So people, only some people can pull the sword out of the stone.
Yeah.
So very similar to that.
Yeah.
Only some people can pick Mjolnir up. Mm-hmm. Like Cap. Cap could technically become a Thor.
I still think Iron Man could.
He probably could have.
Yeah. Especially after Endgame.
Yeah, I was going to say later in life. But yeah, so she's worthy, and it also keeps her healthy, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her human body, her human vessel is getting sicker, but she doesn't feel it because she's Thor.
Right. And as long as she's Thor, the mighty Thor,
yeah,
she will technically be okay.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's like...
But there's a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
So, when she's not holding the hammer, she has to be holding the hammer to be the mighty Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
She has to, like, decide to pick the hammer up.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when she throws it, she doesn't turn back into a human. But when she decides to put the hammer down, she turns back into Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what the hammer is doing is it's draining whatever life force she has left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making her sicker.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
Is.
It's almost the villain is cancer.
Yeah. Yes. Anything more you want to say in Jane Quick?
Nope.
Speaking of villains, since you brought it up.
I was hoping you would take my turn.
So, one of my. It's not really a moment. It's probably one of my favorite characters in the movie. Thor, other than the Thor the Dark World, has had some great villains.
Mm-hmm.
Loki in the first one.
Hela. I would even say the entirety of like being in that pit on Sakaar or whatever planet they were on.
Yeah.
Fighting pit. Like that was a pretty villainous like get out of there.
The Grandmaster technically isn't a villain, but kind of a villain.
He's a dude.
He's just a goofy dude. Malekith was kind of boring.
Is that Jeff Goldblum that was the Grandmaster?
Yeah.
That's right.
Thor has had some great villains. And this one, I would say, is no exception to that rule. Christian Bale does a great job playing Gore the God Butcher.
I don't think I would have thought to cast him.
No.
Which, again, speaks to things I've said and you've said way too much and way too often. Marvel somehow casts even really popular celebrities well.
Well, and it's interesting they cast Christian Bale because he's been known to be difficult to work with.
I read a rumor that he actually asked, because he's been playing, like, he doesn't play villainous roles very often.
No.
Ever since American Psycho, he hasn't really played, like, too much of a villain role.
Yeah.
So he asked, like, Kevin Feige, I think they were, like, sitting at, like, a table, some banquet together, and he was like, if you ever find a villain that you think I can do, I'd love to work with you.
Yeah.
So this is like a rumor. I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because he was great in American Psycho.
Yeah. Did a great job as, what was his name?
Patrick Bateman.
Bateman. Oh, he was inspired by Norman Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Anyways. Like Celine said, he's one of those villains where is he really wrong?
So, like, origin stories, he worships a god, and he ends up in this god's, like, actual...
Like, Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. And he's like, please, like, help, my daughter's dying.
Yeah.
And the god is like, I just fucking got this sword that actually kills, like, gods. It's called the God Butcher, whatever, sword.
The God Slayer or something.
The God Slayer.
Yeah.
And, like... I did that. Like, fuck you people. I worship myself and you can, like, also worship me.
Right.
Like, being an...
But I'm not going to do anything for
like,
you.
He's like, your daughter's, like, worthless to me. So, much like how Jane... And I love this connection. Much like how Jane felt a pull towards Mjolnir, Gore feels a pull towards the God Slayer. And he actually goes, like almost his dying breath. Like, he's dying from being starved and dehydrated. Goes and pulls the God Slayer out of the ground and slays this straight up Greek god.
Yeah. And he was like human.
Yeah.
Or like an alien of some sort.
Yeah.
But he looked human.
Yeah. I that's a good way to put it. He was like a humanoid.
Yeah. Yeah, humanoid.
Yeah. So he kills him, and then he realizes, I mean, like, he obviously learns, he realizes that the sword has powers, mm-hmm. and he can create creatures, or pull creatures out of the dark, I guess, is technically what I read he does. Like, they're already there. He just finds them.
But it also transforms him.
He then vows to kill every god.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's pretty successful.
It turns him from a human-looking person it looks almost like a demon.
Yeah.
Very pale.
Gray.
Like, not even pale. He is,
he's like gray.
Yeah, but what do you, like, people who don't have any pigment.
Like albino?
Yes. So he looks like almost like albino white.
Yeah.
Like you said, gray. He's got these really creepy orange eyes that kind of glow. Yeah. He is very creepy.
And he also talks dogs-like.
Mm-hmm.
Very slow, and like, he reminds me so much of Voldemort.
Yeah.
That I think
with the nose, though.
Yeah, with the nose. That's, I think, what creeps me out. I remember when so not the first version, but Ralph Fiennes' version of Voldemort. When he first premiered as Voldemort, I was like, he's so scary to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually looks like a human snake, and snakes scare me, and he looks like a basilisk.
My only complaint about his Voldemort was I wish they would have given him snake eyes. Because in the book, he has slit eyes.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
And in Goblet of Fire, for a split second, when he turns from the humanoid baby, humanoid again, to Voldemort, his eyes, for a split second, look like a slit, mm-hmm. and then they go to a regular eye. Eyes. But it was so I think it was too unsettling, which is why they didn't do it.
He was already scary, so I could imagine that they probably, it probably didn't test well.
Right.
So, yeah.
Anyways.
But speaking on that, he just was as scary as... I felt that, like, that kind of, like, oh, you're, like... And sometimes villains just don't seem hell-bent enough. You know, they just don't seem like there's really any rhyme or reason to what they're doing. It just seems like... Like, why are you
the
here?
The Flag Smashers.
Yeah. Like, what's going on, guys? Are you... Do you really have a point?
Right.
All of the villains of that movie of that show were, like, kind of... What? Like, even... The new Captain America for a minute, U.S. agent. I was like, I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so he gives a validity to villains, but like, he's also really scary.
He is, and his reasoning for wanting to
kill
all the gods was because the god chose not to help him save his daughter. I can't say if. It was like my dog or my child, and I was like, please save them, and the god was like, no. I'd be like, oh, okay.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, is he wrong?
Like, if, like, somebody hurt or killed Mason or Haim or, like, my parents.
Yeah.
And I begged to a god I really believed in and got that answer, like, even more so than no answer.
Yeah.
Got that answer. And the god was right there, and there was a god slaying sword right there. I mean...
Can't say I wouldn't do the same thing.
Would you say that it was almost fate?
Yeah. Yeah, meant to be.
He's a very good villain, and it's not like in the vein of, like, what the fuck, what kind of villain is he? It's like, you kind of just like, this god lets his daughter die.
Yeah.
When he could have brought her back.
Mm-hmm.
Or saved her at that rate. I think she was dying but not dead and then was going to be dead. Oh, no, she was dead. And then he, like, literally crawls into this Garden of Eden space.
Yeah.
So he asked her to bring her back and he says no. And his daughter is dead. He has nothing left to be good for.
He's got no family.
He's nothing
to lose. I think he's the last of his kind. Like, the very last person.
Yes, which is sad, but, yeah, he vows to kill all the gods.
Yep.
Any god he comes across, he will slay.
Again, and is he wrong?
I mean, like, no, because historically, like, thinking of Greek mythology and all that stuff, they, like, gave, they made temples to these people. Temples that are now, like, museums.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a, not a joke by any means, but, yeah. like, it's kind of like, oh, they used to, like, worship that.
Right.
Which is ironic, because the people who are usually doing that are typically religious themselves in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So I'm like, I mean, is it crazier to worship one god, or is it crazier, or is it even, like, more, like, wide-minded to worship 12?
Right. I know. It's like,
I would believe more so that there's, like, multiple gods that run different, like, departments of the world.
Right. On this one almighty. One. Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he does start slaying gods, which brings us to our tete-a-tete where Thor is like, hey, bro, they're, like, killing, he's, like, killing gods, and we're all we're gods.
Right.
And Zeus is like,
oh. Like, you should be worried.
Zeus is like, I don't know. Like, maybe let's table it.
Child.
So then they steal his lightning bolt.
Go sit down.
Brings us back to this scene. Valkyrie, Jane, who is sitting next to her, and Thor and Korg. Korg gets smashed into little pieces and becomes a little Korg head.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay, because he's still very nice.
Yes.
And Thor, like, literally straps him to his...
Yep.
He's like, be my other set of eyes. Korg's not a great second set of eyes. So, no. That.
Yeah.
Can't even do a New Zealand yeah. accent.
I love, yeah.
I can't even attempt it.
I can do, not New Zealand, but I love in Ragnarok when, what did he say? He's like, hey, how's it going? We're going to go steal this spaceship. You want to come?
Like how he talks.
He's just so, like, you know, just.
How's it going?
Yeah.
What we got on?
Yep.
You're like, okay, Korg, you adorable little rock man. Oh my God.
So long, new Doug.
New Doug, I forgot about that.
That was Ragnarok. Anyways, go ahead.
So we get, they steal his lightning bolt because they think that
Zeus's lightning bolt. Yeah,
they'll be able to stop Gore that way. And a fight pursues, and I mean, essentially, most of the movie is them trying to rescue these kids that Gore kidnapped. And one of the kids is actually Axel. His real name's Alistair, but it's fine. Whose father happens to be my son Heimdall's son.
Yep. And he goes by Axel because he's quite obsessed Guns with Axel Rose.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
It's Heimdall's son, and yep. he has Heimdall's eyes. Mm-hmm. And also has Heimdall's powers.
And Heimdall is...
dead.
Is gone. Yeah, he died in at the beginning of Endgame.
Yeah.
I'll tell you later. So, yeah, it's his son, though.
Yeah. Which they casted really well. It looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
And his son has the same powers, so that's how they're able to communicate with the kids, because Axel can, like, show Thor where they are.
Yeah.
Basically, he can give his vision to another person, which yeah. is one of Heimdall's powers.
Like, he can project yeah, another person.
Like, almost astral projection, but for someone else.
Yeah.
So, it's obviously a trap. Like, we know this.
Yeah.
And they go forth, and, like... it's kind of, like, the rest of it is kind of, like, your basic movie mumbo-jumbo yeah. fluff. You know, like, I don't need to really summarize too much. They do fight Gore, and it does culminate.
So, before we get into that, your second favorite, what was that again? Your second favorite part.
Oh, what did I say? I don't remember now.
I don't remember. Was it Jane? Because we haven't said our third one yet.
Jane was my third, because we were going to do it together.
That's right. Okay.
So you have okay. a third.
So before we get into, like, the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
My third, I remember this now. My third favorite part of the movie is Thor is gifted two goats. And they have a name, Z, but I don't remember them. These are not regular goats.
I can't think about these goats without...
The goats are screaming goats. And they, some people, I got mail. Some people will either love them. I think they have the greatest comedic timing in the whole movie because they're in the whole movie. And literally, they help like fly like the Bifrost.
Yeah.
Like a spaceship Bifrost. And every time they fly. They scream. And it is the funniest.
That's when I laugh my hardest, is whenever they scream.
It is the funniest part. So toward the end of the movie, they end up crashing into a Gore's planet. And all the, it's like silence for a few seconds. And all of a sudden you hear, ah!
That's so funny.
So that's my third favorite part.
That's a good one. I forgot about the ghost. Yes.
So, I would say you and I probably have a mutual fourth favorite part, which we'll get to here shortly.
I was just going
to
say, I think we have a mutual fourth favorite that I would like to culminate with.
Yes, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So, yes. Go ahead.
So it comes down to they're searching for this thing called like the Eternity or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a celestial being.
Yeah, and it grants one wish. If you can get to it.
It's like a genie, I guess.
Yeah, like a celestial genie. I don't know why it does what it does.
Fun fact, the Celestials from the Eternals actually make a return in this.
Yes.
Briefly, like they're not mentioned by name, but...
No.
They are in this, so it's kind of cool. Kind of one of the few ties to the Eternals so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
And, a fight ensues, and Jane is getting progressively weaker. And she does end up deciding to help him during her last moments, she's the mighty Thor for her last moments.
Yeah, because he said, because there's a moment where, spoiler again, where when she turns back into Jane, she's like on the brink of like she's gonna pass away if she mm-hmm. uses it one more time, mm-hmm. and Thor tells her, he's like, Jane, if you pick up that hammer one more time, he's like, it's you're gonna die. And he's like, let me save you. Because he's like, he's already lost so many people, you know?
And this is like the love of his life.
Right. He lost Loki. He lost his dad. He lost his mom.
He lost Tony. He lost Cap.
I mean.
He lost Natasha.
Like, the dude has had a lot of heartbreak. And so I can.
Or Wanda. They both reacted different.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's just.
A matter of character.
All of Phase 4 is basically dealing with grief, mm-hmm. if you think about it. And how well you deal with it. So, like Celine said, she ends up deciding to use it one last time. Go ahead.
And he kind of, at first, is like, Jane. Like, and she I vaguely remember her saying, like, what would you have done?
Like, saying this was my choice.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you have done the same thing?
I knew the cost.
Yeah, I want to help you. Like, I love you, too.
Yeah.
So, I loved that. Definitely didn't think I was going to cry in this movie. For sure did.
Yeah.
So, she does use her, like, final breath, essentially, to push out Mjolnir one more time.
To stop...
Gore.
Yeah.
From slaying Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Which really did rhyme.
Yeah, from slaying Thor and from causing more destruction.
Mm-hmm. And, and they're in this weird, like, almost like infinity pool.
It's very ethereal.
It's like, very calming, and I'm like, these fuckers are fighting? I'd be like, give me a moment to zen.
Right.
And then we shall fight. And Gore is most definitely losing at this point. And he gets the sword taken away from him, but he begs Thor, please let me have, like, my one wish. And Thor essentially is like, you can't waste it. Like, make this a good one.
Right.
Like, don't do something dumb.
Right.
Like asking for the gods to end or whatever. Like, he's essentially trying to, like, coax him into making the right wish.
Right.
And
if you're gonna wish, make it a good one.
Make it worthwhile. Yeah. Like, make it worth your life, essentially, is what Thor is saying. And at this like point in time, I've forgotten why Gore became the God Butcher, because it's been like such a we've been in the run of the mill, like running through the mills, and like just so many fight scenes. Mm-hmm. It's been so quick. I'm like, I think I leaned over to you and I was like, I wonder what he's gonna wish for.
Yeah.
And I think you had to tell me, you were like, well, I think he's gonna wish for this. And what does he wish for?
So he wishes for his daughter back. And basically it ends up killing him.
He was already dying.
Yeah, he was already dying.
Just like Jane.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, he was injured. Like, fatally injured.
Yeah.
So he wishes to have his daughter brought back. And Eternity, the god, who's very cool, like, looks almost like a constant. It looks almost like the night sky.
Yeah.
But
like, walking.
Yeah, like, if that makes any sense. Yeah. It's very cool. And if I looked it up, like, actually very comic book accurate, too. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Cool. I even mentioned, when we were watching the movie, I thought it was Galactus.
That's what we thought.
Because the headpiece looked like Galactus. It does seem like that's like the route they're taking, is that he might be the next big baddie. Mm-hmm. Or one of them. I don't know. Anyways, wishes for his daughter back. Eternity grants him the wish. And his daughter is brought back.
And he gets to say goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is, like, really what he wanted.
He just wanted to see her one more time. And right. See her healthy and, like, alive. Which I think we'd all wish for that, you know?
Right.
And so he asks for his daughter, and then he asks if Thor will take care of her.
Yeah.
And obviously Thor says yes. And it pans out. And we get a credit scene. Credit number...
I don't even know if it's the credit. It's just the end, like, scene. Maybe it's an end credit scene.
Yeah, that is.
I don't remember. Keep talking. I'll look it up.
No, you're definitely right. It's an end scene. It's an end scene. I'm switching it up in my brain. You're definitely correct.
That's okay. I'll look it up to see what it is so we can talk about them.
but yeah, it's, again, Marvel's got a theme right now of humanizing their villains. And this is, like, definitely a moment where you're like, I would have definitely done what Gore did. Probably through and through to the end, to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the end scene?
No.
Okay.
It's not an end credit scene. Okay. It's just the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then it brings us to our favorite moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both in agreement that this is our, like, favorite moment.
Where the dual meaning comes in.
Yes.
So, the title, Love and Thunder, is obviously Love being Jane, Thunder being Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And their relationship, Love and Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute title.
It is adorable. You're just like, okay.
Yeah, like, that's a cute title. Love it. So Thor is taking care of Gore's daughter now. Helping her navigate her celestialness, I guess. She has powers. And she is very strong. Like, she's a superhero, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to guide her into making good choices.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
Right. And it's cute seeing him, like, as, like, kind of like a fatherly figure. And the movie ends, essentially, with what?
Korg is narrating once again.
Yes.
And he says...
And Korg is back.
Korg is back. And he also did his weird little hand-holding rock baby seance with another Korg.
Yep.
Or like another one of him.
His name is Dwayne.
Dwayne. The Rock.
Yep. And then the irony was not lost on us.
I'm so hard at that. I was like, Dwayne. They said Dwayne. And I was like The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock. Yep.
And he explains what happens to him. And then he says, he explains what happens to Thor and her. And
And Jane died. Yes. If we didn't say that.
Yes, Jane did pass away.
And they built a statue in her honor in New Asgard.
As the Mighty Thor.
Yep.
And so that Korg finishes. He narrates for, like, I think the good part of the last part of the episode. And I want to find exactly what he said.
Well, while you're looking up that, while Selena's looking up exactly what Korg said, when Jane dies, it's actually very sad when she dies. Kind of going back a little bit, but she basically passes away and she just turns into stardust. Because when we all go, we're
just made of stardust.
We go back to stardust, yeah. You know, the way we came.
Which is, like, beautiful.
Yeah. Granted, the way she went is probably a little bit more elegant than it actually happens, but it's still very cool.
I read you a quote from...
Is this the ending quote?
No. It's just funny. Korg, must be hard for you to see your ex-girlfriend and your ex-hammer hang out and getting on so well. Korg, as Thor tries to summon Mjolnir. What are you up to, bro? Thor, come to daddy. Thor, as his new hammer comes to him. Hey, there you are! There's Korg! Which you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes! Yep, Stormbreaker is jealous of Mjolnir. And it is very funny. Yes. Hey, I was just talking about you! What's up, buddy?
And then Korg, he's my best friend! There's some get the popcorn out. He's going to do a speech. Thor, I see what's happening here. You're afraid, scared, anxious. It's time for bed.
It is.
My friends, times like this, we need to unite. Come together. I'm sorry. Meek, it's very hard to give a rousing speech with the noise. Like, what on earth? I just love that movie. I want to kill this guy, Jane. Spoken like a true thrower.
Yep.
I can't find that last quote. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter to me, but, like, I'm not gonna...
Anyways, so yeah. Jane died. Very sad. Anyways. Just kidding. Korg's speech.
That's the ex-girlfriend, Jodie Foster.
What was that? Was that Korg when he saw Jane for the first time? Yeah. Jodie Foster. Oh my God. He literally has some of the best moments.
Just going through quotes. I'm so sorry. Mate, relax. We're on the same team. Team Jane. King Valkyrie says that. It's like alludes to her bisexuality.
Yes.
First off, the name is Mighty Thor. Secondly, if you can't say Mighty Thor, I'll accept Dr. Jane Foster. And thirdly, eat my hammer! This is Zeus. If you don't shut up, you won't be invited to the orgy.
Very true.
I can't find it. Anyway, okay. Korg is narrating and he goes, and then they lived happily ever after fighting crime known as
Thor, Love, and Thunder.
The little girl being Love and Thor being Thunder.
Her name is Love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her name was Love and he's Thunder.
Yes.
It's actually his daughter.
Yes. Which we didn't realize till after the fact.
No.
It was so cute. Like, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Yep.
And she has powers now because of Eternity.
Yep. So her name is Love and he's Thunder. It's so,
so cute. I never saw that coming.
No. I immediately turned to Selena and go, oh my God, it has a dual meaning.
I was just like, I cannot believe that they're, like, fighting crime right now.
Uh-huh. Yep. Thor and Love both jump into the crowd, lightning behind them.
Yep. She's got so cool. laser beams coming out of her eyes.
Mm-hmm. I think she has Stormbreaker and he has Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny. So, it's It was such a cute movie. It was so funny. It. Celine, what did you say after we watched the movie? You remember?
No.
What did I say? After the movie ended. Oh. After the end credit scenes, everything, we stood up to leave. Do you remember what you said?
I got that feeling again.
Yes. Yeah. We did. It was it.
We talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Talk about that feeling where you're like, oh my god, that was so good. And as of late, Marvel has, we talked about it in previous episodes, been very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. A lot of misses lately. Mm-hmm. But this was such a great.
I forgot that I said that to you right after.
Yeah, it was such a great.
It felt like being home again.
Yes, because it had been so long since we had felt that way.
Yeah, it felt like being back at home.
Yeah, and I just thought it was such a good movie. Very much in the vein of Ragnarok.
Yes.
I thought, if not funnier than Ragnarok.
I think it was much funnier than Ragnarok.
And I really loved Jane's story.
Yes.
And it was just so sad that they killed her off.
Which is like what I was crying about. Because I was like, Jane's dead. Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
That does lead us to our end credit scene, though.
So the first end credit scene doesn't have anything to do with Jane. We pan back to Zeus. He's defeated, he's humiliated from Thor, the god of thunder, Zeus, the
god of lightning.
He is just downright disgraced by this boy, and he will not have it.
He's not invited to the orgy anymore.
I'm hurt.
Honestly, I'd be upset.
Yeah, well, Thor is there.
That's why I'd be upset.
Yes.
If there's an orgy involved, I would be upset I wasn't there.
Volunteers tribute!
Pick me, my lord!
Pick number three, my lord! Yeah, he's humiliated. He is just disgraced.
Me, love me. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
It's so good. And he says to someone off screen, I'm sending you to reclaim our honor. And all of a sudden we pan over. And a man stands up and he's like, it would be my pleasure, father, or whatever.
It's Herc.
Yeah, Hercules. Very cool. Don't know much about him in the Marvel world.
Oh, I was going to say, I know his mythology. I just don't know his.
Yeah.
What he's going to be like in Marvel.
Yeah. But it's the guy from Ted Lasso. I don't know his name. I thought it was the guy from Sense 8, but it's not. They look very similar, though. But yeah, he's from Ted Lasso. I don't know his name, but I'd look it up quick, but I'm tired. But very cool, because that means that Thor will continue, obviously.
Yeah, he's got another villain.
Yeah. And we'll see how that pans out, whether it be in an Avengers movie, in Thor 5. We don't know.
We shall see.
So we sit there, we wait for like 15 minutes.
Just talk, really.
Yeah. Trying to talk over the loud music. Da 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 da. I mentioned earlier that Jane turned to stardust. She floated up into the sky to a million little pieces. Very sad. What happened next?
Well, where she was really going in her little stardust form was actually Valhalla. Mm-hmm. Because she was now... Because
she died a warrior's death.
She died a warrior's death.
Mm-hmm.
She got to go to Valhalla. And my other favorite part of the movie happened. You guys all know my dog's name. It's not a secret. We say it on here. Who appeared on our screens and graced us?
He didn't even appear at first. He said something like, you're here! Mm-hmm. And right away, we recognized the voice.
Yeah. I gasped.
Right away. I guess I'm thinking about it. Yeah. We recognized the voice. It's Idris Elba, Heimdall.
Heimdall.
Who died in Endgame. What? Stop the press. How in the hell's bells is he back?
They're in Valhalla.
Because he also died a warrior's death. The only way to get into Valhalla is to die a warrior's death.
I just got goosebumps because he came back on screen and I like had a panic. Literally, you guys, it happened. And TJ and I do this thing that's probably annoying to everyone but us. But we look at each other and we gasp.
We go,
we just stare at each other and we're like, and then we'll talk about it later because we can't pause theater screen, which...
I always wished, like, when something exciting happened, I had Piper's power from Charmed. She could...
Just freeze everything and be like,
yeah.
What do you think? And then, like, what's going on? And then right back to
it. Yep. Yeah.
And we just... It was... Heimdall is one of my favorite characters in the comic books and in Norse mythology, because he's the protector, and he's my dog.
Yep.
So...
He's the protector and seer of all realms.
Which is the coolest thing ever.
Right. Arguably, probably one of the
more powerful characters.
Yeah.
At least more, the most wise, for sure.
So, not only is Heimdall back, but Jane is also technically not dead.
She's in Valhalla.
Right.
And them being there and speaking on the screen gives us the idea that if one dies a warrior's death, one can come back as a warrior, I think, is inferred. Like, they're not dead.
They're in a different multiverse.
Yeah, they're in a different universe.
Yeah.
We've opened that door now.
Obviously, the theme with Phase 4 is multiverse.
Yeah.
Spider-Man introduced it. Doctor Strange.
Really introduced it.
Embraced it.
Yeah.
I wish they would embrace it a little bit more, to be honest.
That's why I said they introduced it.
Right. And
Loki.
Yep. And this one is no exception, where they also are leaning into it. Mm-hmm. It's just so exciting, A, that Heimdall's back, because we were crushed in Endgame.
It was so sad.
I believe you cried.
I cried very hard.
Yes.
Did we get married a year after Endgame or 2 years? Anyway, whenever we got Heimdall, I was like, you can't do what he did.
Right. It was so sad, but just so cool that he's back. Jane's back somehow, which means that they could possibly show up again in another movie. We don't know.
I think that's what they're leaning towards.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because Idris Elba said he would never come back.
I wonder why he did.
I think...
Money.
No, I think he makes a lot of movies.
Money.
Probably. But I think he also... the reason... His was very similar to... I think it was the very beginning. Like, just like Jeremy Renner. He didn't like how like big of a character he was and how small of a role he had. And then once it got bigger and he got killed off, he was like... Like, damn, that was just getting good.
I'm gonna be back.
So, and it's, again, like you always say, it's a steady paycheck. People love him.
As an actor, it must be terrible to have steady work.
I just don't understand why they don't want to do Marvel movies.
No.
Even Angelina Jolie's like, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Selma Hayek's like, yeah, let's go.
Right. And the two of them probably have more money than anyone.
They don't need to do these movies.
No, but they want to, because why wouldn't you?
Chris Hemsworth is probably good at this rate.
Right.
He's just like...
And he will continue to be good until he passes away. Yeah, royalty checks? Huh.
All the stupid fucking movies he makes, he's going to do fine. Uh-huh. He gets paid for those regardless of if we watch them or if we don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was Thor, Love and Thunder.
It really was a great ride, though. I was very saddened that it didn't, that it's rated as one of the worst Marvel movies.
Which is...
Even not just critics-wise, but audience-wise, it doesn't have a great rating on IMDb. On Rotten Tomatoes, audience score is not great. It's very surprising to me. Because I thought it was just like Ragnarok, if not better.
I thought it was better than Ragnarok. The only thing I just really want is to see all my favorite people back on screen.
Yeah.
And I feel like this gave me that a little bit. Just like Spider-Man kind of gave it to you too. Like to see all the Spider-Men together.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's been a year.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's all I got really. I think we really fleshed it out.
The main parts.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of favorite moments, so.
I mean, we could talk about this probably for hours if it wasn't 10.
Yeah. All right, well, I got nothing else.
I got nothing.
That's all we got. TJ and Celine. Ooh, tonight.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't
another player in a game for two. Hey, me, buddy, ain't no lie. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye.
Bye.